Hello, lovely hogs. Andrew here, and we are so excited to bring Trusty Hogs Live all over the world. Yes, as you listen to this, we have one date left in Australia at the Sydney Factory Theatre. That is on the 27th of April. And then we are back in the Northern Hemisphere with Dublin. Yes, we are so excited to come to Ireland for the first time. We're bringing Trusty Hogs Live to the Laughter Lounge on the 4th of June. Tuesday the 4th of June in Dublin, there's going to be an Irish history lecture from Heather. There's going to be drunken karaoke. There's going to be problem solving. All sorts of chaos. All the usual. It is not to be missed. Make sure you get your tickets early because we are expecting to sell out. TrustyHogs.com/tour for all the tickets and info. That's Dublin on the 4th of June. Then we are into July with Bristol, Brighton, Edinburgh in August, London at the Clapham Grand on the 16th of October, and then we close out our tour in Manchester on the 6th of November. So make sure you go to TrustyHogs.com/tour. Get your tickets quick because some of these are already sold out. Some of them are very nearly there, and we cannot wait to see you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello!
Episode 99-ish!
Hello, we actually got the numbering wrong for this episode. It's actually Acton 98. Apologies for that. Enjoy the rest of the show.
99 lift balloons! And we've got no balloons in here! It's Trusty Hogs!
99 problems! I can't believe we actually... I mean, 99
problems
wonderful...
And the bitch ain't one.
And you are... listen, I'm thrilled to be here.
Step forth the trusty hogs. Yeah, you're gonna give them your problems and they will solve them. Or maybe they won't, and that's your problem. They'll have guests and Andrew White on the tech. Oh, it's Helen and Catherine as the trusty hogs. Trust the trusty hogs, or maybe not.
Can you believe we've been doing this for 99 episodes? Fuck.
It feels like only yesterday we were on episode 9.
I know, and we were starting in that horrible shipping container, for which we were very grateful.
We didn't
grateful.
Even start in there.
Sorry,
oh my god, we
Do you
started
not
in
remember?
That, like, that dark yes! corner of a room.
Wait,
oh
save
gosh.
This for next week. We
no,
can
but,
reminisce
okay,
next
fine,
week. We can't
fine,
reminisce
fine.
Now.
Well, honestly, I have much more important stuff to tell you.
So do I.
I burnt my leg.
That's actually really important.
I burnt my leg.
I can't believe we didn't talk about this on last week's
I
episode.
I burnt my leg so bad, Helen.
I know,
so
it's not funny.
Bad. I had to cancel a Soho show. I'm such an expensive clot. It fucking hurts so bad. It still hurts.
I also have cancelled Soho shows before for falling, so.
Oh my god, okay. Did you get it?
I know. Right. Number one, I'm sorry you hurt your leg.
It's so bad.
Describe
have you seen,
to the,
have
I, I've seen it. I've seen it.
We'll have you seen we'll it this
again.
Week? It's so bad.
Let's have a look this week.
It's still so bad.
It's so close to her vagina. Oh, it's so sore.
It's so grim.
It really looks like sort of like World War One trenches.
It looks like I have like some sort of like flesh-eating disease.
Oh, flesh-eating disease.
Yeah, or like there's a bullet in there. It's really, really, really fucking sore. It's annoying.
Tell the hogs what happened.
I'm a klutz, and I was on this riding day, meant to be running a writer's room from on Zoom for my radio show, which we'll talk about, which I had Sunil on. I know, I did a radio show for it called TLDR. It's on Sounds. You can listen to it. It's just one episode, but I was really proud of it.
I actually haven't listened yet. I just realised that.
Okay, you're a cunt. So,
I'm gonna listen to it on the way home.
But I burned my... I was basically like pulling my chair into my desk. I'm a klutz, knock into it, and I spilled this new, freshly boiled cafetiere of coffee all over my leg. And thankfully, I had the smart to like whip off my dress because I was... It was sticking to my leg.
Oh, God.
It was horrendous. And it was so painful immediately. And then I didn't know what to do. But sometimes I think I'm okay with my OCD. Like, I'm doing all right. Mm. And then other times when I'm faced with the choice between, like, a screaming, burning leg and coffee granules everywhere, I find myself cleaning the coffee granules up before I deal with my leg. And
oh,
I'm like,
shit.
Oh, maybe I'm not all right. Maybe I still have work to do. Interesting, interesting, interesting.
Oh, fuck.
So I obviously had to hoover and clean that up first, which makes me think that I'm insane.
Was Ellen not home?
No. I live alone, I suppose.
I know, but
yeah.
Like,
and then... she's not always there.
No, she's
there.
Not always there. No,
well,
no.
This is why I shouldn't live alone. It's so dangerous. Anyway, then I called a producer and was like, I'm really sorry. Can I have 10 minutes? As if thinking it would only take 10 minutes. And then I called 111 and they were like, get in the shower.
Yeah.
And apparently you should run hot, cold water. So like keep it running for only up to half an hour. But basically it takes the heat away from the wound. You shouldn't just put something cold on it.
Yeah, yeah. You got to have like running yeah. over it and just
and
stay
away,
there.
And away,
yeah.
and away, and away. Anyway, 111 were supposed to call me back with the doctor, but I waited 2 hours and they didn't. And my whole body went into shock and I was sweating loads. And then... I remember that Ellen's parents are doctors, so just sent sort of crotch shots to her parents, and they were like, and then the doctor called me back, and then I got a burn cream, but it's really fucking bad. And honestly, I've done it before. Once I did it before, this is so stupid. It's the same fucking mistake twice. During COVID, I was doing a Zoom podcast and I spilled a cup of coffee on my leg, but it wasn't just boiled.
I don't remember that.
But I burned it pretty bad, but it was during a podcast and I just kept doing the podcast because I'm a pro. But that burn,
I would make the world stop.
That burn wasn't as bad as this. But yeah, it's really fucking painful.
And what have you learned from it?
Don't
trust the French. Never use a cafetiere. I'm sorry, they're all at it. Fucking snakes in the grass.
I would say, and then
nice cup of coffee, like an American cup of coffee, freeze dried, or like use a keepy cuppy at home with a lid on it.
Yeah.
Because the French are fucking gunning for you, my love, and they're gunning for all of us.
Wow.
You tell me what World War VII's going to be? It's the French coming back to England, and I can feel it through the Channel Tunnel.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a leap.
I have a French fact.
I'm still sick, by the way. I swear to God. I think my cold won't heal because my leg is like using up all my immune system. I'm having a terrible time.
Can I tell you?
Can I make a confession? For myself.
Because you messaged me that your leg had broken. And then since then on stage, when I've plugged Trusty Hogs at the end of gigs, I've said Catherine's burnt half her cunt off.
What?
I don't know why.
What?
It gets a laugh.
Why would you
and
say that?
I genuinely thought it was like on your lap, so I assumed you'd burnt half your cunt off.
How big do you think my cunt is? Where do you think it starts and ends?
I just thought.
What?
It's not so much the size of the cunt, it's the volume of liquid in a cafetiere. You're very sick.
I'm really sick.
Oh, you're not well, are you?
No.
But how do we get you better? Because leg will heal over time. That will heal.
I think it's just taking all my immune system to heal my leg because it's been an open wound for quite a few days now. And then now I get this cold. Sorry for being so gross and feeling sorry for myself.
No, I love it when you're gross. Anything, it makes me feel so relaxed.
Okay.
I have been free bleeding on this chair the whole time. Because it doesn't matter because Catherine's the gross one today.
Do you remember the joy she had when you had the shits?
Oh my God, when Catherine had the shits.
I had food poisoning.
Oh, the amount of times I pictured that sweet little ginger ring just in peril.
Ginger ring! Oh,
that sweet little ginger ring in peril.
It's actually not ginger. I have a very bold ring. Sorry to say it.
Yeah, me too. I've got a bold ring. I fucking don't. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? No, we're just having fun, Catherine. What else?
I hate it here. Why have we agreed to do this? I think we should stop at 99.
No.
I think we should call it a day.
Next week's episode is going to be so fun.
Okay. Well, what I was going to tell you is that I got Sunil on my radio show, but everything that could have gone wrong with that radio show went wrong, but then it still turned out good, I think. So please listen to it. I'll tell you all about my radio show on the Patreon episode. So if you want to hear about how the sausage gets made at the BBC,
yes, please.
But I won't bore you here because this is about Trusty Hogs.
We'll talk next week about how much I'm thriving because this month I'm currently in a different 2 European cities every weekend. But
for tour? With Fern.
With Olga, Fern. Like, but I'm going to have so much to tell you next week, but we've got such a good guest, I feel like we should just get into
it. Okay, but I just need to tell you that I read Fern Brady's book and now.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. I was obsessed with it. It was
so
amazing.
It's so good.
It's so good. And she writes so well. And for anyone with a mental illness is incredibly relatable, even though autism is very different to OCD, but like it was so helpful for me. Is autism considered a mental illness?
No, it's a learning difference.
Okay, great. Yeah, yeah. But I still find it incredibly relatable.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Because I was like, this is so useful as a way of like actually being honest. She's so honest.
Did you read it or audiobook?
Both. I read it and then audiobook.
No,
I loved
it. I just read it, but I think I want to do the audiobook.
The audiobook's amazing, and also she makes some really specific jokes in the audiobook that are really good.
Yes, please. Because I listened to Daisy May Cooper's audiobook.
Oh my god, I should do that next.
So good.
I should do that. I just find it so good. I find it so relatable because obviously not the same, but I've been through the same sort of hospital systems that she has, and I just find it really. Just like incredibly frank, and also like have had a lack of diagnosis for a while as well, so like had that incredible frustration
of like what's going on with me,
yeah, and why does nobody know, and even now that we have a diagnosis, how does anybody help? And it was just really good.
Yeah, I think it's so weird that it's like, not to ruin Fern's book or anything, but there's like so many times in people's lives where like it just takes one doctor's opinion to be like, oh, it's not that, and then that's it for that person for like god knows how long.
Yeah.
Get a second opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think it's so good. And it's so funny and really well written and smart. And
Slash.
I loved it.
And now Lou Sanders has got a book out.
Oh my god, I can't wait to read it. Gosh, yeah, we really... There's so many good books to read. Anyway, female comedians are the ones. I want to listen to Daisy May Cooper's. And I know we have to get on our guest. I just want to have a little interlude of a book club just
Andrew's
then.
Andrew's now got a book club point.
Yeah. It's the other Joanna Glenn book.
No,
here we she go. Didn't.
All
no,
my
she
mothers, didn't. We stand here.
What has she done? All my fathers?
By the way,
that'd be sick.
So many listeners got All My Mothers on our...
well, get Fern Brady's book on my recommendation. What are you recommending?
It's the other half of Augusta Hope, and it is Joanna Glenn's other book. All My Mothers is still like the pinnacle for me, but Augusta Hope was very, very good.
I need to buy it.
Okay.
I need to buy it. Is it in bookshops or is it online?
I'll give you my copy if you like.
No, I want to support Joanna. I loved her first book.
Okay. I'll take your copy. Thank you so much. I don't want to... No. I don't want to spoil that.
Let's go to Waterstones. After our guest.
Okay. Should we maybe have our guest
on birthday present?
No, I don't want it. You want it.
I am buying you a book.
Okay. And please welcome to Trusty Hogs,
it's Geraldine Hickey.
What's up, hogs? It's Helen Bauer here. Just to let you know, I am going on tour this year. It's starting in Edinburgh. I'll be there from the 14th to the 27th. And then I'm hitting up Europe. I'm hitting up Paris, Harlem, Copenhagen, the places you've been begging for me to go. And then all around the UK, apart from Wales. For some reason, I don't have a Welsh date yet. So please, if you're in Wales and you have a venue, just let me know and I'll just come there. We'll have a bit of fun. All the tickets are available on my website and I'd love to see you there. And please bring Helen gifties. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Go again. If you could pick your favourite intro, was it me or Catherine's?
It was a toy.
Into the mic, please.
It was a toy.
The best accent ever.
It's so good, Geraldine. You do have the best voice in the world. Also, you have my mother's name, so I'm so endeared to you.
Oh, that's right. I did know that.
Yeah, every time I see you, I'm like, oh, it's another Geraldine. Legends.
Geraldine. That's my name.
I've got an uncle called Gerald.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I have an uncle called Helen.
But isn't it like there's a Greek masculine form of the name Helen, apparently?
What is it?
Like it's traditionally a man's name.
Oh.
Greek?
The Greek masculine name of Helen.
Oh.
Or I was bullied at school for no reason. Do you ever say those things and you realise, oh, that maybe that was like...
Also, I'm like, are you Greek, Geraldine?
No.
Okay, so...
No.
Geraldine Hickey, that's...
Yeah. Have you been to Greece?
I have, actually.
Oh, so there we go.
Oh, we got there in the end. We got there in the end.
There you go.
Thessaloniki.
Where the fuck's that?
Oh, I don't know. Am I saying it wrong?
No, I think you said it right.
Why would I fucking know?
No, I think you said it right. That's nice.
Yeah, I think you have to do it like... Thessaloniki.
Oh, do they have the old things there?
Yeah, they had a pirate ship. That was fun.
Nice.
No, they don't have pirates in Greece.
It was a fun little pirate ship where you just got on and you had rum. Yum.
Oh, my God, yum.
Yeah, with, like guys who, like, couldn't work anywhere else or dress up as pirates and they squirt, like, rum into, like, tourist mouths.
Oh, wouldn't that... No.
No, no. What?
But who does that? That's fun.
Like, people in Zante and
stuff. Should we start again? What's happening now?
No, I'm banging on right now. You know those, like, tourist cruises you can go on and it's, like, a pirate ship... And it's like men with like real, like, you know, you're questioning, like, why did you end up here? This wasn't
why
a choice.
Why are you on international water?
Yeah, and why can't you work to on be? Land? Like, yeah. What's going on
this
here?
This thing just went around the bay and for then, an hour.
Oh, okay. That's nice. That's
but was
lovely.
Anyone dressed up?
I can't remember.
No, you would remember.
Yeah,
you would remember.
You would. Wait, so you just got back from Edinburgh Fringe?
I did.
How the hell was it?
It was good. Let's go. Yeah, no, was good.
I actually believed you. No, I believed you. Every time I saw you, you looked so sweet and happy. You were always in your hat that protected the back of your neck.
A Legionnaire's cap.
Oh my god,
you don't own a Legionnaire's cap.
Yeah, the only last person to talk about this on the podcast
Heidi
was
Regan
Heidi
from Newcastle, Australia.
Look at this. Yeah.
Save perhaps to drugs written across the top of the cap.
It's fashion.
But were you?
It is something.
Okay.
What I love about this hat, I love that you're wearing it so much.
She would have been so bullied by the Scottish comics behind her.
Leave her alone.
I don't know if you knew that.
They would have teased me.
Yeah.
No. Do you think I would have cared?
No, I really don't.
No.
I really don't. But my favourite thing about that hat was that it was so cheery and so optimistic, because to wear a Legionnaire's cap in Scotland, to assume there'd be that kind of sun that your mullet itself wouldn't protect you from.
Yeah, but I can't wear caps.
I know,
why?
But a Legionnaire's cap plus a mullet.
It doesn't look right.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you think a mullet's doing the same thing as a Legionnaire's
cap? It just makes it... Well, the cap, because I've got... I think because I've got a small head and my ear, so the cap, it covers... It just makes it look like I've been through chemo.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the Legionnaire's cap's saying?
What's that?
What do you think the Legionnaire's cap is saying?
That I'm fun.
You've recovered.
Yeah, I'm that.
I'm in remission.
Yeah.
I've got a flap.
But still not taking chances with the sun. Good for you.
So, yeah, I had a good time in Edinburgh. Because I think I went in with low and realistic
expectations.
Because the horror stories have travelled now, haven't they?
Oh, my gosh.
How many have you done before?
This is my second one.
Right.
The first one I did 15 years ago.
What?
Yeah, I know. I did the Free Fringe back in 2008. And
Great,
and I did it at the, it was called something else, but the Banshee
Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why did you have a 15-year gap?
Oh, I had stuff on. And
yeah, fair enough, yeah.
No, I think I just went, I came over too early and too young and was naive and was just like, oh, you got it. Like, I just had it in my head. You got to do Edinburgh.
With all your flyers, like, yeah. I'm going to win this thing because I want this and I'm focused. I'm going to get so good.
I was like, I'm going to go in.
And I'm going to be friends with everyone.
I'm going to be best newcomer. This is going to be great. Who's that?
The light went off.
That was absolutely magical.
Oh, we want that. Okay.
And then I just went back to Australia and just thought, oh, I'd get good in Australia and then I'll come back. But also I was doing, I was working, I did breakfast radio for like 5.5 years.
To be fair, also lots of people would say I'll go get good in Australia and wouldn't go and get so good that they won the biggest prize in Australian comedy.
Yeah,
and then
it's a strong move, it's a strong
Geraldine
move
was like,
to win.
You weren't dicking around, you were like, no, I'll get really fucking good and then I'll come back. So did you feel like a different person at this one?
Do you know what? It felt like I was going back to, like a... It felt like I'd done high school, but I was in like year 12, last year, in Australia, last year, year 12, I was prefect, I was popular.
Nice.
And now I've gone to a different school, but the school is like 10 times the size and I'm in like the first year.
Whoa.
But a lot of people still know you as the prefect.
Cool.
You what?
And you're still like, you're known as a prefect still at the new school.
Yeah, there's a history. They go, I've got a bit of clout.
Presumably there are way more Australian comics at Edinburgh now than they were 15 years ago as well. Like, there seemed to be a big contingent of Antipodean comics.
But I think there's always been lots of Australians coming.
Yeah.
Where else are we going to go?
Yeah, good point.
Greece.
And also, yeah, great, but I don't
there's
know.
There's only so many pirate cruises you can do.
Yeah, and do they know our humour? I think, you know, British and Australian humour are quite similar. Yeah,
very, very similar.
What
very
I was
similar.
Just saying about watching an Australian film.
Yeah, what, tell us about it.
I watched Finding Nemo again 2 weeks ago. And
how
it's
is
just
that an
brilliant.
Australian film?
It's an Australian film. It's definitely an Australian film.
It's
set in Australia.
It's set in Australia.
It's an Australian...
In the Sydney Harbour.
Yeah.
I mean,
and on the Great Barrier Reef, they travel to
the
Sydney
address?
Harbour.
It's set in a cartoon.
P. Sherman, 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney.
Yeah.
No, you did.
Yeah. This is my nice dollar.
Sorry, I wasn't sure which of you said that. That was crazy.
I live on the Amazon.
Whoa.
It's pretty good. Your accent's pretty good.
Thank you.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Well, it's because I was with you in Sydney, but then I went to Perth as well, and I really immersed myself in the culture.
How long were you in Perth for? What culture?
A week. Whoa, the lights are back on.
Well, that's
this great. Is such a fun episode.
But what's the culture?
The Australian culture.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the culture of Perth. Mourning.
Mourning.
Of course. Yeah. And I was into mourning because I watched a show called Instant Hotel, and they were in Cuba, Pedro.
Oh, yes.
And, they have a wonderful time there. They all live underground, and if they come above ground, they're covered in flies. That is like, what? Are you even humans? It's mad.
Are these words? What's happening?
Yeah, Cuba Pedro. They get tribal.
What is that?
Yeah, the plights. Sorry.
They're what?
There's a place called Cuba Pedy.
Right.
And it's, they do my. But it's gets
but they
so
live underground.
Hot
they live underground.
They live, yeah, they live
who
underground.
Who lives underground?
People.
What?
Yeah, because it's too hot to live upstairs, like, above ground.
Above
so it's cool.
Upstairs.
It's cooler just to live in. Yeah, they.
That's horrendous.
Yeah.
They get skylights.
Yeah, they're really they are happy because they've got a good sense of community.
It sounds terrible.
No, no, they love it. They love it because they love opals.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they mine there. Opals.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Okay.
I wouldn't live there.
No,
you would,
exactly.
Yeah.
No.
I would love to visit.
Okay, fascinating.
But it's about
wait, so
the way.
You went to Edinburgh and did it go? Did you get... I need to stick to the question. I still want to know how...
We've got so much more to discuss.
I know you do. And you know what?
Yeah.
You know what?
What's your favourite character in Finding Nemo?
It's silly of me to even find out.
The crab.
Who's the crab?
Do you mean Jack, the cleaner, the cleaning fish, the cleaning shrimp?
No, the one that comes in right at the end.
Oh, when they're like getting the food off the sewage pipe.
Yeah, that one.
And he's like, ay, 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 ay.
See? She
such
knows
a small
it.
Role. Yeah. Okay, amazing. Fair play. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen Finding Nemo.
Oh. What?
Yeah.
So, well, there you go. There's your afternoon sorted.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You come to Helen's.
Imagine watching a movie in the afternoon. I would never. But I would...
It's just always judgment.
No, it's not judgment. I wouldn't be able to... I have so much to do.
I watched Braveheart the other day, first thing in the morning. It was brilliant.
First thing in the morning.
Never seen it before.
You,
wanted to tick it off my list.
Just at night time.
Yeah.
When you've got
done
everything
my stuff,
done.
Yeah.
Yeah. But why don't
well, you never have everything done, Geraldine.
But why don't you consider watching Finding Nemo as work? This is, you're at work now.
I genuinely put films on my list sometimes to tick them off. Yeah.
That's why you can claim them on tax.
Yeah.
Okay, and how do they help my work?
Because it's
having
a comedy.
Conversations about it.
Right, so I'm having one about it now, even though I don't want to, and even
though
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, but imagine how much better you would be at work if you could engage with
it. Fish are friends, not...
Food.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's been a long time since I've seen it.
You're doing really
it's
well.
It's been a long time since anyone has seen it, Geraldine. This is not a topical conversation.
Bruce. That's all.
My name's Bruce. What are you two little Sheilas doing out here? And Sheilas is
ladies.
Ladies, yeah, well
I got
done.
It. That's
part... Sheilas wheels. Did you ever get this in Australia? Oh, you're gonna die!
What?
Sheilas wheels.
What is Sheilas
hello?
Wheels?
Hello, Sheilas wheels.
Is
okay.
It a biscuit?
What are Sheilas wheels?
Oh, I wish.
Like,
okay.
like wagon wheels.
No, you're gonna love this. Okay, in like the middle of the noughties. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like they were like, oh, like it's all these like car insurance companies. But what do we do with all the women? We can't insure them. So they were like, we'll get them a lady insurance for car insurance.
Buckle.
And it was called Sheila's Whale.
In England?
Yeah, and it was all done by people doing Aussie accents as good and terrible as mine. And they're like, come on in, Sheila's Whales. And there were these women in like pink things being like, we'll crash it, but don't worry, Sheila's will take care of us. Have I made this up? Am I like Andrew Emmy? Remember this.
May I say, I could really have used this. I just got my car insured because I just started driving. Geraldine, I don't know if I've told you, but I drive now. And it was the most expensive thing I've ever paid. Where the fuck was Sheila when I needed her?
Still going.
No.
What? Yeah. Sheila? Help!
We keep our Sheila's happy by supplying fabulous 5-star the factor rated car and home insurance.
What's their policy on non-binary drivers? What
Sheila's.
Is their non-binary driver's policy?
I'll go into the FAQ.
Please.
And is it more expensive? Because they...
Why does the light keep going on and off? It's so creepy, isn't it?
Carry on.
Is it, like, are they going, oh, Sheila's there, they're a bit shit at driving,
I think that's the idea. Because we get confused. Because we look in the mirror and we've got to fix an eyelash.
Yeah. We don't know where we're going.
I'm using my woman's intuition as the mate.
Parking is hard, to be fair, it's hard.
At Sheila's Wheels, we'll ensure your seats, even if they're period seats, while I absorb you. Actually, that's not a bad idea. Don't put that on the podcast. Write that down as a Dragon's Den
period
idea.
Period seats?
Period seats. Where period you can sit seats. On it with nothing on, like when your shirt cocking, and you sit on it
you're
and absorb all your blood.
You're not getting a car you can free bleed in. What's wrong with
Seriously,
you?
Seriously, think about the future. Write that down, Em.
Em's not writing anything to you.
They have nothing on non-binary drivers, but they do have these fun facts.
Okay.
There are 1,174 Sheila's Wheels policyholders called Sheila.
What? Sheila's Wheels.
And even better, there is one customer called Sheila Wheeler.
Fuck, they better give her free insurance.
That up. That's.
Oh, Sheila Wheeler.
Surely it's a GDPR breach to even tell us that fact. Guys, that's. But wait, so don't you have an equivalent in Australia?
Of Sheila's Wheels?
Yeah.
No.
No, wow.
We've got White Lady Funerals.
Excuse me, what's that?
No.
Yeah. What does that mean?
It's just a funeral service, but it's just run by women because they understand.
But not just for white ladies.
No, but they dress in white.
No. Okay.
Yeah. That sounded like they were like, it was just a bunch of people having a funeral, but you complain a lot.
No,
and
you cry
unnecessarily.
That's Karen's
funeral. Yeah. Here's
Welcome
my question.
To White Lady Funerals, where your husband does have to come. Welcome to White Lady Funerals. No one understands what you're going through. Not even your friend, who's also lost a partner.
Where we only serve Pinot Grigio. Yeah. Oh, bless us. Well,
I can't believe I want to die in Australia.
Why?
I want a white lady funeral.
Yeah.
You'll have one regardless.
I want it to be organised by loads of women.
Yeah.
Like commenting on the size of my coffin unnecessarily.
Do you want to be buried? Is that what you
No,
want?
I definitely burnt to pieces. Because I was listening to something about the burning temperature of bone. And I would like to get to that temperature.
Why were you listening to that?
Because I was listening to a murder podcast where they were trying to figure out who died in a fire. It wasn't who you thought.
Whoa. Ollie Geraldine, why are all of the...
Oh, no, we're talking about cremation. What's happening there?
Oh, right,
do you
sorry.
Want to be burnt or buried?
I'll go in a firework. That'll be fun.
But you have to be burnt first. They won't put a whole body in the firework.
Yeah, yeah.
They've been very clear about that.
Okay. No, I want to go with whatever is the most sustainable at the time. So make me a tree.
Make you a tree. That
Something
would be
like
nice.
That.
I think the most sustainable thing is to get someone to eat the ashes and then shit you out as fertilizer.
Oh, is it?
Oh,
are you? How do you feel about that? You on board still?
I'll be dead. Who cares?
Yeah. Nice. Okay, that's generous.
What do you want?
Okay, so here's my thing. I do want to be burned, I think, but I worry that I might not be dead.
Oh.
And I don't trust everybody else to check. And be sure.
So what if
I'm dead? But what if I'm alive?
Yeah,
and
but
then
what
they
if you're
me?
Alive and then you're buried? That takes
at least
a long
I could knock.
Time.
Deep, deep, deep.
But nobody's
deep,
hearing you down there.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Okay, that'd be horrible.
Also, this whole, like, people being buried alive thing, that was when people were buried, like, so quickly. Mm. Like, now, like, you die, you there's a couple you of did. Days.
But
like,
in,
they
Ireland,
know.
In Ireland, you get buried within 2 days. You don't
no,
have your
but what about you? How about this? You can be buried, but then you can have one of those bells.
I'd love,
to do
I'd
that.
Love a coffin with a bell.
Yeah.
Coffin with a bell, please.
There you go.
And how long do you want to leave it until the burning, then?
A month.
A month.
A month.
You want to lie there rotting for a month with a bell in your hand.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah.
No, you get a string, and because the bell's up top.
Yeah.
So then we have to dig her back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, exhumed.
Yeah.
Put me in a fridge with a bell, maybe. Or like a... Does that make sense?
Yeah. But who's going to hear the fridge bell?
No, you press a buzzer.
Outside. Oh, a buzzer. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, the bell's never inside.
To say it like that.
Well,
and you
already,
just want to be just shut to a firework and chucked up in air.
Yeah, that'll do.
Like a Catherine wheel. That'd be fun. Yeah.
Oh, you could be Catherine wheel. That'd be
nice. I wouldn't mind a cannon either. I think I'd prefer... I don't really like thinking about it. It gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't know how everyone's so chill about it. I don't want to die.
Because
it's a big part of life.
You grew up Catholic, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't heaven and hell, you know that, right? There isn't, right?
Yeah, but there's purgatory as well.
We're in purgatory now.
They got rid of it.
Oh, that's right. I didn't know that. Can I tell you, a priest once told me what the difference between heaven and hell was.
I'd love to know.
Were you raised Catholic?
Yeah.
Hence the name. Okay.
Yeah. Hell, it's like you sit there, it's a big buffet, everyone's sitting there, like there's lots of beautiful food on the table, and you've got really long arms but no elbows, and you can't, and your back doesn't work. So there's all this amazing food and you can't eat it.
Can't you just head dive into
it? No, because your back doesn't, you can't lean forward or anything. So it's just, so hell is just looking at all this amazing food.
That's horrendous.
And you can't eat it. But in heaven, it's the same situation, but in heaven they've worked out that you can feed each other.
Oh, fuck off. Fuck off.
No, that's the difference between heaven.
That cannot have come from an actual priest.
Yeah. I loved it.
You loved it? Heaven is meant to be somebody else eating from my hands.
Yeah.
How am I cleaning them if I can't bend my elbows?
And also, what happened to elbows?
I want elbows in heaven. Geraldine,
I want to be able to bend over as well.
Yeah, me too. Listen, me too. Mm.
I thought hell had already been described as well. Don't they describe it in the Bible? Like, as like a
Why
burning
did you
pit
say
of
like
fire.
We wouldn't know in the Bible? Have you heard of it?
The Bible.
You know, but the like, white ladies use it for their funerals. The Bible. You heard of
isn't
it?
Isn't it a burning pit of fire?
Yeah, no, it's a place where you don't want to be.
Where's the buffet then? What's going on with your priest?
But this is the best thing about parochial Catholicism. It's the single best thing about parochial Catholicism is the sort of like freewheeling that priests will do on their own stuff.
Did you ever want to be a priest?
So you couldn't be and can't be.
No, I know. But,
I definitely considered being a nun as a child, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Do you reckon, if you could be a priest,
yeah,
that you would just be a priest and not a comedian? Because it's a very similar vibe, don't you reckon?
Mm-hmm. No, because I think I'd still want to fuck women.
Oh, but that hasn't stopped priests from being priests.
Oh, yeah, I know, but I'm so brazen with it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm too brazen. I wouldn't be a good secretive gay. I never was.
Yeah.
I was out, the second I realised, and I don't think that would be good for... Oh. I mean, not the second, but, pretty soon.
Yeah.
I came out at 19.
It took me a long time.
Really?
Yeah, and look at
how
me.
Long.
I know. Your hair matches your hat. What are you talking about?
Don't look at me when you say look at me. I'm not making any comments. I think it's lovely that you have a Legionnaire's cap and then you're wearing a sort of dragon thing that's also wearing a cap with a mullet.
So hang on a second. What age did you come out?
I think I might have been in my 30s.
What?
Yeah.
But look at you.
I know.
What? Did you grow up in a house without mirrors?
Catherine Mary Jones.
She looks so gay. What are you talking about?
Catherine Mary.
I can say it.
Everyone looks gay, okay?
I had longer hair.
But that is mad that you didn't, yeah.
What are you talking about?
No, here's the thing. I did, when I, in my early 20s, I did come out. But I grew up in the country, I was young, I was naive, I didn't really know anything. And I kind of went, I had the realisation and went, I'm gay. I am gay.
Right.
And then I went to a lesbian bar.
Yeah.
And, you see, movies and stuff, and just you think the community will welcome you openly into yeah. their arms. Oh, and no. so I thought, so I went to like this lesbian bar and was like, walked in and was like,
what year are we talking in? When you were in your 20s, what, when are we talking about?
Oh, like 2010, early, great.
Okay.
Yeah, like 2000s, early 2010.
Okay, so we came out around the same time.
Yeah, and so I was like, I went to this, we're talking 20 years ago, so what's that?
Yeah, early 2003, 2000s. Yeah.
Okay.
Early 2000s, so yeah, I walked into this and was expecting, like, the people go, hi, how are you, welcome.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
And it's like, I'm just a 21-year-old walking into a country kid walking into a lesbian bar.
And in people the city just or in the country?
Hey?
In the city or in the country?
In the city. There's none in the country.
Yeah.
In the city, and look, I had been living in Melbourne for a couple of years, but it was just like, I'm home.
Here I am. Honey's home.
And everyone, and it was just like this.
Like they were going to start playing We Are Family and just sort of like hold you up.
Yeah, yeah, you kind of do think that.
No. Just, you know, it's.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's community. Welcome to our community.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like you'd get like a pack or something.
It's just a, hey,
a sticker,
welcome.
A badge.
Oh, it's so funny. You are sold
we're
that
so
narrative.
We're so proud of you for coming
what
in.
What happened?
When actually what it is just a bunch of like self-serving people who've gone to fuck. And so they're everyone's just out for themselves. They're it's just, a bunch of sharks.
You just walk in and they just look you up and down and go, mm-hmm.
Do I want to fuck you? Yeah.
And whoa. I was like, oh. So it just made me go, oh, I guess, yeah, maybe I'm not. I don't belong there. I'm not gay. So I just went, and because I told a couple of people.
And you didn't have rock climbing back then, did you?
Yeah, no.
You weren't all
no carabiners.
On your things yet. Because now it's
wasn't
so easy.
Wasn't there a local hockey team?
Nah, oh, softball was in, yeah.
Okay.
And I was very good at that. But
I'll bet
it's different.
You were, yeah.
But I just kind of, you know, and because I told people that I had come out, and then I went, was like, had to go, oh, nah, I'm not. And then I had to double down and
oh,
go,
fuck. Like,
I'm really
sucks
not.
So, much dick.
So like for 10 years was
oh,
like,
sorry.
Nah, I'm not.
Geraldine.
But slept with some women at the time.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
you know, at the same time, but then. Yeah, and then I did come out, so it was all good and everything's great.
So then when you came out the second time.
It was at a gig.
Was it?
Yeah. Stop.
Yeah.
On stage.
Yeah.
Love that for you.
So it was
that's amazing. Go on.
It was in Adelaide, at the Adelaide Fringe, and there's a comic, I don't know if you know, Hannah Gadsby.
Yeah.
So Hannah and another comic, Amelia Jane Hunter, would do these.
I know Amelia Jane Hunter.
Oh,
I'm from, like, I mean, I started comedy in Berlin.
Oh.
We used to get together the entire time.
Oh, I could, yeah.
Shut the fuck up. I love her. She literally just messaged me the other day.
Oh,
yeah. We get it. You know her.
No, I'm so excited right now.
She's in my phone. We're friends. I have watched Hannah Gadsby's Netflix special.
Oh, there you go. So.
she was on my Netflix the other day, actually. So.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Okay, we're both in the gang now. Yeah. Yeah.
Go on.
And I've never been to Adelaide.
And I'm
I'd love
gay.
To go.
Oh, you
I'm
should go.
I'm not gay. I'm not gay.
Go on. But they would do like this late night show called Pony Club, and it was just them, and it was the rules. Some you were never on stage alone, so they were, you know, they would host it together, and they'd have different, you know, people come up, and so they asked, you know, Hannah called, and she goes, oh yeah, do you want to come and do a spot? I'm like, oh yeah, cool. And then she said, oh, there's a theme, like you don't have to stick to it or anything, but just so you know, there is a theme, and the theme is boy or girl. And I went, okay, cool. And I hung up the phone. In my head, I just went, oh, I guess I'll just come out then. And it was like I had no thoughts whatsoever of contemplating coming. It was just that one moment my brain just went, nah, you're doing it. This is happening.
Yes, Geraldine.
And then I just started writing jokes about it. And then I'd like call friends who were also, I'm like, oh, can I just run a couple of jokes past you? And I'd explain, I'm like, I'm doing this gig tonight and I'm just, you know, doing this. And so, you know, here's some jokes. And they're like, oh, yeah, cool, cool, cool. And then one of my friends, she hung up the phone and she said that, later she was telling me, she just hung up the phone and went, I think Jessa just came out. Yeah, that's what that was. And just came, and then so I, that night I did the gig and...
Sorry, people call you Jessa and you weren't out.
No, don't. That's Australian, mate.
Wow, that country's weird. Okay, go on. Sorry.
I know, right?
It just feels like the gayest.
Like,
go
you're
on.
Right there.
Do you know what
right
I mean?
There.
It's like you're so close to it. You're circling the drain.
The funniest Legionnaire cap. You can't even make that thing because they're all bloody wearing.
Wow, wild. Okay, so go on.
So I did the gig, and because the thing was like, boy, and I, you know, I said, oh, I've always maintained that I've been into boys, but. I'm into girls. And then I did all these lesbian tropes of, you know, I should have seen the size. I was good at softball.
All the stuff.
All that stuff.
You took your hat off, you showed them your hair.
Yeah. Have a look at this. I just stood there, you know. And then I finished and I went, oh, thanks very much, and I walked off. And as I was walking off, Hannah goes, just so everyone's aware... Just, that was like your official coming out, wasn't it? And I was standing at the back of this tent with like 200 people
hell?
In there, and I just went,
200? That's
yeah.
a
what
big
the hell?
Yeah, it was a lot of people for an announcement.
I was being, was it 100?
It was quite close.
Yeah, not going to be 200. Yeah, it was quite a big tent. And then from at the back, I just went, yeah. And
oh
then
God,
the audience just went,
the community welcomed
they
you.
The community welcomed me.
Oh, full circle. Maybe that was a problem at the City Gay Club. They were expecting you to do a set and you just didn't say anything.
They didn't know me.
That is so fucking amazing that
That's
your brain
so
just
brave.
Did that, though. You went,
I know.
Like, you hang up the phone and you're like, well, I guess I'm doing that tonight.
Yeah. It's like when, have you got any tattoos? Like when you're trying to
we
decide.
We don't talk about that.
Yes, I have. I've got one tattoo. I have a golden guitar on my ankle.
She
I'm not even
actually
joking.
Does.
I have a golden gay time.
Oh, it's tiny.
On my ankle. Thank you very much. I'm a bad girl.
How did you decide to do that?
Well, I asked her if we should get tattoos for our podcast. She said she would never, ever, in any circumstance, get a tattoo. She then went away a week later to Australia with Olga Koch, and they got the ice cream I recommended she try, a golden gay time on her ankle. She's a fucking straight lady.
Because I'm a fucking Aussie now.
No, Geraldine.
I got it in Frio.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And I also got a t-shirt with a koala with diamantes on it.
Oh,
yeah,
I wouldn't have done that. But the tattoo, for sure.
Okay, so go on. But how is it the same as tattoos?
Oh, like when you're trying to decide what to get and then all of a sudden it's just, you know, you can always, you know, want a tattoo and go, oh, I don't know. And then all of a sudden it just happens.
Exactly
you just
like me in the Golden Gay Time.
Yeah, you just get a Golden Gay Time
and
when you leave.
Just for like perfect Disney symmetry, you got married recently.
I did.
This year?
Wait, how is this
November,
Disney symmetry?
November last year. Yeah.
Because you just told her coming out story and now she has a lovely wife.
Oh, yeah, now I'm married. So it was
Disney
worth coming
symmetry.
Out.
I'm just saying, like, you love Disney and there's a happy ending to the story.
Oh, right, again. I thought maybe you went on, like, a honeymoon to, like, Disney
World. You have a Mickey Mouse on your tit.
Yeah, Disney Cruise Line Spirit Jersey.
Did you go on the cruise?
No, thank you to our listener, Elle, for picking this
of
up
course,
for me.
Of course, of course. But wait, so how did you meet your wife? Do you mind telling us?
No, no, no. We met online.
What?
Yes. What? My parents' online date is fun,
isn't it? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, what? What do you mean?
We met. There's apps you can get on your phone.
What? I just date out anyone I have sex with. What do you mean? Wait, so which one?
OkCupid?
Okay, come on, that's a throwback.
Yeah,
okay, that,
well,
mind.
We've been together for a long time, so nice. I think it's like maybe eight years, maybe?
It was so sweet. Who proposed to who?
Well.
Here we go.
She proposed to me because I had an ongoing joke, because she said because we talked about marriage and stuff. Mm-hmm. Once we got marriage equality, it was like, you know, we talked about getting married and she said, you know, I will ask you because if you ever ask me, I won't take you seriously.
Understood.
Which is fair.
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah, I've got one of those personalities too. Yeah.
For about 5 years, I would do this ongoing joke.
Oh, no.
Where we would go somewhere, any place, where I'm like, let's get a selfie. And then I'll put it on video and go, here we are at the front of the Opera House and Kath has just asked me to marry her and I said yes. And I've got hundreds.
You're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You're a piece of shit.
Okay. So she so proposed funny. To me and she did it, she did it live on radio.
What?
Yeah, and he's like, you know, you love, how good is a public proposal? I love them, but also not for us. Do you know, like, that's what I thought.
Okay,
yeah,
I love that's public what proposals.
I love them, but do you want it to happen to you?
Like, yeah, outside the Disneyland castle.
I love them, but I do not want them to happen to me.
Exactly, same. It's like, oh, that's amazing, but oh, no.
But both, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, so were you on the radio?
Yeah, yeah. So she came in, so it was my 40th birthday,
right?
And I had asked her to organise me a surprise for me.
Oh my goodness!
Okay,
because it's just easier to when someone and you don't have to worry about stuff. And so it started. I was at work doing breakfast radio.
Okay,
and halfway through the show, I saw her come in. I was like, oh, maybe I get to leave early. The hot, you know, the little triple Y starts.
Yeah.
And I had suspected that she was going to propose that weekend.
Okay.
But I thought, oh, because she'd asked me to what my ring size was.
Yeah, that'll do it. Fucking hell.
Come on, Kath.
Okay, I'm sure she's a lovely woman, but fuck it. Just take another ring and take it in and say this size.
Nah, she knew. So, and it was fine. But, you know, the details that didn't know. So I thought she was going to take me to one particular spot where I thought she was going to propose, like, 5 years, like, when we first started dating and we hadn't been together that long, and she goes, oh, I'll take you to this lighthouse, it's really nice, we'll take a bottle of champagne, we'll watch the sunset, and I was like, and the whole time I'm, like, thinking, oh, my God, she's going to propose, and I'm like, I'm not ready. Like, it's not.
Oh,
this
my
is not,
God.
This is not. And the whole, it's like, it was like a 20-minute drive or something. And the whole time I'm thinking, what am I going to say? I'll say yes, but we'll say, let's just keep it between us so we won't have to tell anyone.
Oh,
and
my
then
God.
It was just like, so, and
that's so funny.
And so when we're drinking the champagne, watching the sunset, and I'm like, it's,
you're so stressed. Your shoulders are up at your ears.
Yeah. And I'm looking at it going, is it
now?
And she's like, beautiful sunset. I'm like, is it now? And she's like,
just having a nice day. She's just having a lovely time.
When you got back in the car, were you like,
at the time, I just went, are you going to ask me? And she goes, nah. I'm like, oh, my God, so I thought you were going to ask me to marry you. And she goes, no, why? Oh, my God. And then so we laughed.
That's so funny. So you thought she was going to recreate that moment. So to be fair, that would have been a good stuff.
It would have been amazing. So she came in with all these gifts for the upcoming, but to give me hints of what was coming up with the birthday.
Okay.
So
wait, did she come on air?
Yes.
Okay.
She came into the studio.
Had she done that before? Is that a thing she does?
No, not at all. Not at all. And I thought it was, you know, she came on, she goes, as you know, it's Jordan asked me to organise a surprise 40th. So I've just come in with a couple of gifts just to give her an idea of, you know, what's coming up. And I'm like, all right, these, sure, but these are all clues that you are going to propose to me later tonight at the lighthouse. And also, the lighthouse is at a place called Cape Lip Trap. How lesbian.
Oh, my God. Stop it. It's perfect. Wow.
Cape Lip Trap.
Wow.
The most
they
lesbian.
Might as well call it Pussy Pier and be done with the thing. What the hell? Okay, go on.
So I was in my head going, she's going to
Pussy Pier.
Thank you. I feel like you deserve more. Thank you so much. Thank you. Go on.
So she was like, these are all clues that, you know,
that
and
was
I'm
very
going,
droll.
Thank
I'm
you.
Going, these are clues that she's going to propose to me later this afternoon at Cape Lip Trap Lighthouse, right? And so the first present I open, it's a board game. And the board game is because the plan was that we were going to play board games that night with all the. Anyway, we didn't, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But the board game was the game of life.
Right.
And I'm like, it's the game of life because we're going
to
get
this
married.
This woman's obsessed with me. She wants to marry me, I guess.
Could you be any more obvious, right? Yeah. And then the next one was a bottle of wine. And I was like, a bottle of wine because we love drinking wine and we're going to drink wine together until we die. why? But it was because we were going to a winery. And then the next one, it was like a tiny little box, but there was nothing in it, right? And I was like, oh, of course there's nothing in it, because she's got the ring and she's going to propose to me later tonight at Cape Liptrap Lighthouse.
Yeah.
And then I turned around and then she's like getting down on one knee. And I'm like, what? And then she's going, and she's trying to talk at the same time. She goes, oh, it's really hard to like be down on one knee but also speak into the microphone stuff. And I'm just like, I'll just do this. And I just turn the mic, put the mic down for her. And then, yeah, she asked me to marry her. And because it was radio and I'm a professional, I had to ham it up. You know, with the yes, and I went, of course I bloody will.
Yeah, you didn't mean it though. It was all bad to you.
What you meant was yes.
Yes.
In a measured tone.
Exactly, but I had to ham it up.
Stop it, that's so beautiful. Did you guys what song cry? Did you play after that?
Oh, it was
Peter Andre Mysterious Day.
It's just a guess. I like it's awesome. That cheerleader song. Ooh,
Found myself a cheerleader. She is always right there when I need her.
That was our song.
Oh my god, stop it, that's so fucking cute.
Yes.
I still hate public proposals, that's what I learned.
Oh my god, I absolutely adore this. Yeah.
But, and you can watch it on they did a video of it and put it up on like our radio, put it up.
We
on
will
our,
link that below on the YouTube stream, yeah.
On our on their face. It's just it was on Facebook and it got so many more views than any stand-up clip.
No, yeah, obviously.
Put up.
Obviously.
That's words. So harsh. It that's just, so harsh.
Yeah.
That's the best bonkers. Public proposal.
You should
the recording of it. Like, you'll never, like, that's it's there. It's there forever.
You should have clipped it so that it did start a proposal and then went into your stand-up. Stealth PR.
Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, yeah.
You could still do
no,
that.
No, God. Do another No, this is just
then so straight into your best to your bed jockeys or something. Like, straight and into both stuff.
Did you get married at Cape Liptrap?
Yeah,
close did you to actually?
Yeah, because we've got a house near there and we got married, not at the lighthouse, but...
Really close.
Yeah, really close.
Where did you go on honeymoon?
We haven't had one yet.
Can I recommend what? Disney World?
No.
Honestly, no. It's called a Sweethearts Honeymoon.
No.
No.
In
Florida.
Which one? In Florida. Yeah. Oh, I haven't been to the Florida one.
Which one have you been to?
LA
Disneyland, the original. Okay, so that's the only one that Walt actually visited
himself.
Where
were you thinking of going for your honeymoon?
Oh, we're not done.
Well... We'll come back to Disneyland. Okay. I went to Disneyland.
I know, but I said Disney World, so it's okay.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right. I do know that, yeah. Sorry.
No,
don't
please.
Be sorry, be better.
So the honeymoon, the original plan that we wanted to go on a whiskey cruise around the Scottish Isles.
Fucking yes.
Told you lesbians love the Hebrides, man.
What is it? Catherine just got back from
Hebrides. Oh, my God, gorgeous.
Can I tell you my joke? Yeah.
Yes.
Catherine and her girlfriend have gone on two holidays and both times they've seen whales. And I said, oh, I know why you love whales, because of the wet hole.
Oh.
That didn't get it.
You're talking, double white,
yeah.
Wet hole.
With a blowhole, but also the...
Yeah.
Hey, Andrew, do you have a listener problem?
Come on!
We do indeed.
Fabulous. Are you ready? What kind of advice giver are you, Geraldine?
Measured.
I believe you. Too. I believe you. I can see you thinking a lot of things just aren't any of your business.
Oh, yeah, but if they ask me, it's fine. My business
okay,
now.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. Wow, I believe that.
I wouldn't, like, eavesdrop and go, I think you should do this. But if someone, what do you think about this? I'll go, well, now that you've asked.
Mm.
Do you think I should come to Melbourne?
Yes.
I really want to go.
I really want to go too.
Do you think they'd like me there?
Yeah. You've been. What are you talking about?
No, I have. I did Sydney and Perth.
Oh, I'm going to do Melbourne this year, I hope.
If they like you
in
Sydney,
but you've got to be invited.
Melbourne likes people even more than Sydney people like people.
Well, if we're invited, we'll both be there this year.
Get an invite.
Would you be there in Melbourne next year?
Oh, I'll be there.
Does that mean we can get a tattoo together?
Oh, yeah.
You're fucking kidding me. Would you get a tattoo?
Do you want to get tattoos, Bruce though, from Finding Nemo on us?
Oh, yeah, I'll get a shot. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just get a
big grin.
Yeah.
All right, done.
Okay. Thank you. Next.
Fuck you.
You can have one as well. You. Obviously, you can have a Finding Nemo tattoo. You just never seen it.
Go on.
This is from A.
Hi A.
Hi A.
Hello, Helen, Catherine, Andrew, M, and guests.
Yay!
Love the podcast. Best one out there. Thank you.
Very subjective here, but we'll absolutely
someone's
take it.
Someone's not listened to
Thank
Real
you.
Dictators yet on the Wondery Network.
Go on.
My problem is that I'm making the transition from student life travelling life to real job and other adult things like that, and feel a bit nervous heading into it all.
Yeah.
For context, I'm 25 and up until now have been studying at uni for 5 years, then travelling and visiting family in Australia and New Zealand for the past 6 months. This has all been super good fun, and I feel so lucky I've been able to do it. However, I'm now moving back to the city that I went to uni in, and I face the daunting aspect of looking for a so-called proper job. I'm wondering if you have any advice as to how to handle what I'm expecting to be a brutal job hunt in the bioscience field, if that's relevant.
Oh, shit.
If any of you have any bioscience knowledge.
Geraldine, glad you're here for this one.
And moving back to a place that I've only ever known as a student. Any tips on surviving and or thriving would be much appreciated.
Sadly, I do know the answer to this. Biosciences. So as we know, my dad works in a sewage farm.
Yeah.
And as he says, there's always a job in poo if people want it.
That's because your answer?
Yeah. Well, it's technically, isn't it? It's biological sciences.
Oh.
And feces and water treatment works, like turning the poo into water again, taking out all the condoms and things.
Right. So
all I'm saying is that if you get stuck in the job hunt, there's a job in poo if you want it.
All right, so the jobs is going to be the least of the problem. I think they're worried about their life.
Yeah, I agree.
Here's my hot tip.
Here we go, strap in, get your notepad,
Join a sports team.
Oh, my God, why is it every...
I always suggest this because it's the lesbian way.
Yes.
It's like there's community.
It's like you genuinely believe.
Community straight up.
Genuinely believes you join one sports team, then everything else falls into place.
It's called having community. It's called having a routine. It's called having support.
Yeah, because there's a good chance that everyone on that one sports team, one person will be a landlord. One person will be in charge of biosciences for the city you're in. You'll get
Could
a job.
Be.
And
Probably.
You'll
Could
all
be.
Fix it
yeah.
for each other.
You know what you will do? You'll get fresh air once a week. You'll definitely meet up with friends. You'll definitely have some people who know your name. You'll definitely have some sort of routine and structure to your week.
It's the routine,
pals.
Yeah.
Also, may I say, I think that you should, one thing that you don't have when you're traveling and when you're a student is permission to make a space beautiful for yourself. And Ooh. Even though you might be on like limited budget.
That's so beautiful, Catherine.
But because you're not like consistently in the same place all the time. And that is a beautiful benefit of what you're about to do, which is like setting up a base. And I think really think like carefully about how you curate your space that makes you feel nice and happy and well. And there's brilliant stuff in London like Freecycle and Facebook Marketplace where you can get stuff really, really, really cheap or free.
Marketplace does exist all over the world, not just in London.
Yeah, but it means that like if you take your time and are really like precious about what you want to put in it and why you want to put it there, I think you can make a space that makes you feel like, okay, this is new and scary, but I'm like also forming a bit of an identity in a space that feels like it's just mine.
Oh my God, no, I say lean into the 20s. You spent all those years in education, you've studied really hard, you're not going to get the job you want, you're going to live in an absolute hellhole cesspit you're not going to put any effort into, because why
you
should
want you?
Because
a land person,
they're going to chuck you out at any point, you're going to think you're worth a lot and you're going to end up working in Accessorize. Now, here's the thing. When I was working at Accessorize, the key is theft, okay? Mm-hmm. Anything that's left on the floor and they say throw it away, technically you own that. You own that. And that's how you can supply your income. Now remember, working at Accessorize solves one problem, it's a bit of money, but you also need a food job so you can eat. I'd recommend working in a cafe or McDonald's overnight shifts 3 nights a week. You're going to hate where you live, you're going to fall out with a lot of different housemates over the years.
What is wrong with
you? But eventually you will find the right people. And if you're lucky, God, if you're lucky, you will not have to play hockey with a group of lesbians.
Oh my God. Fuck
oh
you.
Yeah, I'd rather do 3 night shifts washing dishes and picking food up off the floor than play hockey with lesbians.
And McDonald's is a hard night shift. My brother did it and he got fired, but it was tough. He did not like it.
I do have a recommendation that I have never made before on this show that I actually wish that I would have done, but it's too late for me now.
Get tile stickers. No.
You're young, you're well educated, and you don't have a job yet.
They might have got a third, we don't know they did well.
Okay, well, seem like you're well educated and you're definitely young. And the young is the only relevant part here.
5 years at uni, they're educated.
But young is the only relevant part here. Do what it's too late for me to do, and frankly was never really going to be on Helen's cards. Marry rich.
Oh.
Marry rich now.
Yeah.
While you're young.
Become a housewife.
Then London would be wonderful. Is it London they're living in?
The city they went to university in, so we
city
can assume.
City living would be great.
York.
Well, whatever it is, marry rich immediately while you're young. Then, if it works out, you're sorted. If it doesn't work out, divorce, you're sorted.
Yeah.
I wish I would have. I wasted my young body.
Did you have an opportunity to?
Multiple, but I just, I squandered it on. Wanting, like, caring if I liked the person.
Oh, yeah.
No, no, idiot. You can't marry. You can't just marry unless
marry
you really love
rich.
Them. Don't do it. No, because you want
rich.
The Geraldine and Kath story. You want that one.
Geraldine had that in her 30s, 40s. She can have. They can have that next.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah,
with all your money.
But also, my tip. Just travel more as well. Like, don't think you.
Marry rich. Get on the property ladder. And by that stuff, I mean somebody else's property ladder.
No. This is the one thing that I got told when I was younger, and I think it's very important. Never find yourself halfway up a ladder you don't want to climb.
Oh.
So don't just go and job something in something you don't want to do, because eventually you'll start escalating in that job and you won't want to escalate in it. This is why every cafe that I worked in, when they offered me a supervising job, I said no and I quit it and I went to a different cafe with less pay. I was so frightened of being too high up on a ladder in a catering job, and that's why I don't, you know, I didn't go to university, and you know,
neither.
But I did travel.
Yeah.
I did travel, and I was a wonderful waitress in Germany for many years.
Marry rich.
Yeah. I mean, if the opportunity comes up,
marry rich, right?
Do that.
Yeah,
I'd say move to Berlin. It's a very cheap city, and there's biology's that's just everywhere.
God,
isn't it?
I should have married rich. What was I thinking?
Yeah, I should have. Worked in poo.
Honestly, my dad and his poo mates down at the sewage works, they are raking in.
They'd have
like,
loved you.
Literally.
They'd have loved you.
They're number one with your number twos. He's the happiest man, Michael Bauer. In fact, just contact him, Southern Water. There's always, he's, you know, I'm not trying to make myself a nepo baby, but my dad's always told me and my siblings, there's a job for us in shit for life if we want it.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
On that note,
they buy you wellies. My dad has his own because he likes his own, but they will supply everything you need to go into the poo screens.
Do they give you that stuff to put under your nose from...
Yeah, they do, but he doesn't need it.
Oh.
He's so used to it.
You got to smell it.
Wow.
Does he pick it up?
Yeah.
Just with his bare hands. Just digs in like,
oh,
I know,
stop it,
I
Helen.
Know there's a tampon in here somewhere Helen. Causing a blockage. And he's having a lovely, he's happy, he's got a girlfriend. And wait for this, my dad has a company car. Sewage
what?
Works, he has a company car now. I mean, he's worked this since he was
it's
24,
not
he's now
worth
70.
It. Marry
it's
rich.
A long way.
Marry
is it your
rich.
Dad? Was he finding all the, what are they, the Fatbergs?
No, no.
Oh my
no.
God, stop. No, okay, Daryl.
Because left Thames, he got made redundant from the London poo.
Oh.
And now he's in poo on the coast now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That
sounds like a Channel 5 travel show.
Poo on the coast, yeah. But he's happy. And you too could be, with a job in... and it is
Marry rich. It's much better than this. This sounds awful. Geraldine has a show to promote. Let's hear it.
Oh, I'd love to hear about the showy.
I'm doing a show at Soho Theatre. And it's called Of Course We've Got Horses.
It's so good.
Thank you. There was something in
Can
Edinburgh.
I tell you my joke about the horse?
Yeah.
That's a visual gag.
Okay, so you're at Soho Theatre. Are
Soho.
There any tickets left?
Yes, of course there are.
Woo! Good, look at you guys.
Plenty of tickets. But also, you know, not too many. Oh, get in quick.
Oh my God, rush!
Yeah,
rush,
come on.
You simply must.
You must.
But yeah, and it's a show that I have just done in Edinburgh. And there was a dad that came to the show, not my dad. He came to, and he goes, I just came because my 4-year-old son is obsessed with the title of your show. And
that's
he was
so
like,
cute.
On the blackboard, where it had the listings of all the shows that I'd have to read them, but I'd have to read out yours multiple times because he would just lose it every time I said it.
That's
so cute.
I know.
Oh, that is really the cutest thing. Yeah. There's a little 4-year-old who's just losing just because of the name. Oh. And I guess he couldn't come because of the age restriction.
There was no age. I said, you can bring him. You might fall asleep, but you know, bring him along.
That's so sweet. Okay, so people can go see you at Soho Theatre. Where can they follow you?
On the socials, Instagram, at Geraldine Hickey, Twitter, I'm on TikTok as well. But
Yeah, nice.
I just started TikToking.
Oh, it's fun, isn't it?
I've literally just got into it, but I'm trying to curate my algorithm because my friend Gwyneth's on the eel algorithm and I want to be on that one.
The eel?
The eel algorithm.
What's that? What does
that mean? There's a side of TikTok where it's just people who are into eels. Hi, Gwyneth Keyworth, if you're listening. And because no one in the world know how eels mate, because they all go to this one dark trench and they mate there and then they come out and there's loads of babies. Every eel in the world.
Well, has it occurred to you at all that might be private?
What's wrong with you?
Well, it just sounds like they want to keep it private.
Yeah, but we have to find out, and that's the eel side of TikTok.
But it could solve cancer if we find it.
There you go.
It's for science.
But I'm trying to get onto that. What side of TikTok are you on?
Like home renos.
Of course you are. Yeah. Of course you are. Oh my god. You don't need to tell it if you're gay. It'll tell you you're
home
gay.
Home renos. I was for a while on the tiny house side of Instagram.
Oh, fun.
Oh my god, that was really a great nice. Couple
really
of months.
Nice. Yeah. Really nice.
Do you know about butterflies?
What about
butterflies? I'll tell you after this. There's a lot you've got to find out.
You can't just leave that and not tell people.
Have I not told you this before in the podcast?
Is it that they go to dead bodies?
No, that's ungodly. Because you know I've always hated butterflies and I hate moths. And I hate people that hate moths and I hate butterflies because I think it's just a colour thing.
I'm not
getting involved in that. No, they're both fucking devils. Wait for this. How does a caterpillar turn into a butterfly?
Gets in a cocoon.
And it grows wings.
Yeah.
As they want us to think. That is not what actually happens. Wait for this. And I'm not a Christian woman, but this is ungodly. They get inside the cocoon.
Yeah.
The caterpillar turns into a liquid that can still feel pain and retains memory.
Yeah.
And that liquid becomes a butterfly.
Yeah.
A liquid that can feel pain with a memory. Yeah. That is fucked up.
What about a jellyfish?
What happens to... No, what? No.
But it's liquid and it feels...
No, it's not. There's a bit of purchase to a jellyfish.
Jellyfish is way worse than a butterfly.
A liquid that can feel pain.
Okay, first of all, I like butterflies, but I will say this. Recently, I found out that in the same way that maggots come to a dead body, so too do...
And flies,
so too do butterflies. They love that shit. They come to decay as well. Mm. And people don't think about that because the PR of butterflies is that they're cute and nice.
They
feed off dead bodies.
Leave me with the maggots. Leave me with anything else, but you remove those butterflies from my body.
I'm going to put you on a butterfly farm.
What about when you come to Melbourne, you can go to the butterfly house?
I honestly cannot do it. My sister is obsessed with the butterfly house only because she knows I physically cannot get through it.
Oh my god, I can't.
I walk through the spider house at London Zoo. Constantly with her.
There's a spider house?
But where the spiders are loose. And I walk through that. I'm not joking. Absolutely fine. And then as soon as we get close to the butterfly house, I feel one in my ears. And there's a spider when you're exiting the spider house at London Zoo to check if there's one on you. And they're fucking huge.
Why do they allow that?
I'm really concerned now that you live in Australia and you've had this
horrendous
reaction.
I'm having this, me too. I hate them. I actually signed up to the London Zoo Cure for Arachnophobia course.
Oh.
But it's like a year long waiting list.
Oh, is that this one?
Oh, it's got lovely.
In Melbourne Museum does one of those, but I don't know if they...
Yeah. I don't want to though.
Oh, what's the worst thing?
I signed up because I thought it'd be funny, but I don't actually want to get on it.
No, I think it'd be good, What's the worst thing a spider could do to you?
It's not what they do, it's the way they look and the way that they move. And for me, most of them,
that's okay.
Most of them
I'm enjoying this woman.
I'm more it's the huntsman is the worst one. So the huntsman, that's like the big hairy ones. And
I really don't like it. I'm sweating.
Anyway.
I always think a butterfly's going to get in my ear.
So it's the
ones with actual facial features.
Well, it's more, it's the big hairy, because they're so big, and it's the way that they move as well. And it's,
Thank you so much, Geraldine. Catherine, are you ready to say your thank yous?
Thank you so much to our executive producers, Simon Moores, Guy Goodman, Mary Fox, Annie Tonner, Sarah Harkey Deacon, Oliver Jago, Anthony Conway, and Matthew Thomas. And Matthew Thomas, what a shame.
Oh, that was so sexy until that little mistake. Thank you, Matthew Thomas.
Thank you, Matthew Thomas.
Thank you.
Thank you to our producers, Richard Bicknell, Elle, Richard Ball, Sadie Cashmore, Zoe, Rachel Page, Helen A, Abby Worf, Luke Bright, Kate, Dean Michael, Alex McPugh, Amy, Sophie Chivers, Victoria Hutchison, Emma Walton, Becky Fox, Tim and Dom, Raya Fink, Cordelia, Amy O'Riordan, Key Webb, Matt Sims, Tristan Taz, Glennis Wood, Stephanie Caraccia, Claire Owen Jones, Harold Van Dyke, David Walker, Jessa Nick, Rachel R, Neil Redmond, Sarah and Molly, Tina Lindsay, Graham Marsh, Leah Overend, Liz Fort, Chloe, Emily Gee, and Mark with a C. Don't mind if we do, Mark. And we talk about how many new producers there are. Thank you all
also
so much.
Also, your voice during that thank you list.
What I've done has gotten quite ill and I sound much sexier this
morning. No,
way.
But like that was like, I thought you were Alexa.
I am genuinely grateful to people, though. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. We need you, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, but thank you, but thank you, Catherine.
Thank you, and thank me, and thank them.
Thank you. Thank us.
Thank us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank them.
Thank them.
Thank us.
Thank us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.